Today's shiur in Yerushalmi Sanhedrin is dedicated to the memory of Pesach Gershon ben Yisroel Fish Olav HaSholem. We are beginning on Daf Aleph Amid Beis in the Oz V'Hadar edition, 25 lines from the bottom of the Amid, with the last word on the line, Taman. In the Vilner edition, it is on Daf Aleph Amid Beis. Today's Daf will deal with various variables, and the main ones will be the Dayanim, who could either be Hedyoitos, plain Dayanim, or it could be a Mumche, someone who's an expert, and then there could be different Dinei Torah. As we learned in the last shiur, there is a Din which is exactly Din Torah, where the judge has to rule exactly the way the Torah says the halacha is, and the Dayan has to be proficient exactly what the Torah's halacha is in this Din Torah. And then there is a Din Torah of Shikul Hadas, where the litigants accept upon themselves that they will accept the psak of the Rav based on his reasoning, which of course is based on halachas of the Torah, but the judge is afraid he may miss some halacha. So based on the knowledge that he has, plus his reasoning together, the litigants accept his psak as if it were totally Din Torah, which is the first method. A third method is called pshara or bitsua, and this is compromise, as we will learn further in today's daf. We ended off the shiur last time on daf aleph amid beis with a machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Shlakish on one side and Shmuel on the other side. And this is speaking about where the Dayanim want to force one of the litigants to come to Beis Din. So the halacha is normally by hedyotis, by plain judges, that you need three. As we learned in our Mishnah, that hoidois valvois require three. Now this machlokes that we're going to learn is not speaking about gzeilis v'chavolois. There everybody's mighty, you must have three, even b'diyevit. If you had only two or one, it is not a good din Torah. But here we are concentrating on hoidois valvois. So there's a machlokes. What happens if you don't have three? B'diyevit, you pass the din with two or with one. This is the machlokes between Shmuel on one side, Rabbi Yochanan Rosh Lakish on the other side. So Shmuel says, Shnayim Shadanu Dinayim Din, Elisha Nikru Bezdin Chotzov. Two judges who judge the case, they should have had three, but they only had two. Their din remains a din, but they are called a audacious Bezdin, a Bezdin Chotzov. So the Korban Eide explained in last year, She'ovru al takhanes chachamim. And these words are very crucial, because in fact, the Meforshim explained, this is the source of the machloikas between Shmuel versus Rabbi Yochanan Rosh Lakish. Shmuel says that the din, that you have to have three dayanim to force somebody to come to Beis Din, that's a takhanes chacham, even though we learned it from Psukim, as we learned in the last year, but that's only an asmachta. It's only hinted to in the Torah, but it's actually a takhanes chacham. So if it's a takhanes chacham, b'dieved, two is good, or one is good. L'chatchila, you should have had three because of the takhanes chacham, but it's not a din d'oraisa. Therefore, b'dieved, the din remains a din, since it's only mid'rabbanan, but they're called chutzpidik, they went against the takhanes chacham. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan Rosh Lakish, on the other hand, they hold that shnayim shadanu ein dinayim din. In order to force someone to come to Beis Din, you need three hedyotos, and if you had two or one, when they said here shnayim shadanu ein dinayim din, they mean even shnayim. One certainly is no good, and even two is also not good, because they hold that the halach of three is a din d'oraisa, and therefore even b'dieved, you must have three. If you only had two or one, the din is not a din. So now we're going to ask a question on the shita of Rabbi Yochanan Rosh Lakish, who say that two or one is not a good din. Tamanta Nin, we learned over there in a Mishnah in Becharis, Perik Dalet, Mishnah Dalet, Hoya Donis Adin. If you had one judge who was paskening, he was adjudicating a din Torah, zikas achayev, and by mistake, he made a mistake. He made righteous the guilty party, and chayev lezakai, he made guilty the righteous party. Or timei lator, he said that which is really tor pure is tamei. It is not considered pure. Or tier l'tamei, or that which is really tamei, it's impure. He said, he paskened that it is pure. So the halacha is, ma'asha asa asa, whatever he paskens remains. Whatever effect it has, if one person as a result had to pay the other one money, whatever the judge paskened remains a psak. But v'yishalom yibeisa, since he has caused Reuven to pay, for example, $10,000 to Shimon, and really Reuven didn't owe that money to Shimon because the judge made a mistake, so the judge has to compensate Reuven the $10,000 that he had to pay to Shimon. Whatever he did is done, and our Shimon keeps the $10,000 that he got from Reuven based on the erroneous psak of the judge. The judge has to make it up by giving compensation to Reuven. So this Mishnah in Bechoris is difficult on Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, because here we see clearly that one judge is sufficient to paskan halacha. The Gemara answers, Rabbah b'shem Rabavua b'sha'amru loy, when the litigant said to this judge, Hare at mekobel oleinu kishloisha, both the korban ha'eda is goyris, the korban eide divrei maskel hachi garsin and kishar amrulai harei at mekobel oleinu kishloisha, approximately 2/3 of the way down the amid on the left side in the korban eide. So his girsa is kishar amrulai harei at mekobel oleinu kishloisha. You are accepted upon us as three. And if you look in the pnei moshe, a few lines up on the right column, he says also the girsa kishloisha. So that's how it will be Goris here, that it's speaking about where the two litigants were not forced to come to Bezdin, but rather they were willing to come. And they willingly accepted this one judge that he should adjudicate the case. And they said to him, you are accepted on us like three. And therefore, when was there a machlais between Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish? By hoidois val voice. Whether if two or one paskin the din, b'dyeved, if the din is good or not, that's only where you're forcing one of the litigants to come to Bezdin. But here in the Mishnah Bechoris, it's speaking about that they willingly accepted one. When they willingly accepted one, that he should have the power of three, then there's no machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Everybody holds that the one could paskin, and that Mishnah was telling us what to do when the judge made a mistake. Continues the Gemara, ma'anan kaimin. Let us look at the korban ha'eda, which is approximately 15 lines before it gets wide. In the left-hand column, meh anan kaimin, he explains it to mean, b'maya skinin. What exactly are we speaking about here in the Mishnah Bechoris? What is the case? Now, let us look in the Gemara, but then we're going to refer right away back to the korban ha'eda, because he has a different girsa than we have in the Gemara. It says the Gemara, im b'shita v'donon mishuk l'adas, b'do masha asa asui. That's our gear. So let us look in the Korban Eda. Hachi garsinin, im b'shita v'donon din toira, b'do masha asa asui. Now if we go back to the Gemara, we again are going to have a change in the Korban Eda. Im b'shita v'donon din toira, b'do yishalmi beisoi. If we go into the Korban Eda, we have im b'shita v'donon b'shikul adas, b'do yishalmi beisoi. So according to the Korban Eda, the correct gears in our Gemara is, the Gemara is asking Mimonashech, how was this one dayan? You explained that the two litigants accepted willingly the one hedget. We're not speaking about a mumchi here. We'll see at the end of the Gemara in a few lines what the din will be by an expert. Here we're speaking about a person who's not an expert. Normally you need three of those people. However, Rabbi Yochanan agrees that if they were accepted willingly by the two litigants, one is enough. But now we have to understand, what did that one tell the two litigants? Did he tell them, I'm going to paskin for you The first method that we mentioned at the beginning of the shir, that's Din Torah, precisely what the Din Torah is. Or did he say he's going to paskin with reasoning, with shikul hadas? Each way, the Mishnah Bechairis has a difficulty. Why? Let's see the Korban Eid inside. Hachi Garcinen. In Mishatav Danan Din Torah, Bidah Masha Asu Asui. If it's going with Din Torah, here you're going to tell me whatever he did, it's done. We can't retract it. We'll soon see that that's not true. And now let's go to the other way. In Bishata, according to the gears of the Korbanate of Adon and Bishikul Adas with reasoning, Bida Yishalmi Besai, here the din is that he has to pay. Vachi Perushi, this is the Pshat, says the Korbanate. In Bishata, Bidvar Mishnah, if he said, I'm going to do a Din Torah. And then he made a mistake in an open Mishnah. Or Bizman Azeh would be, he made a mistake in the open Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch. Amai Masha Asu Asui. We're not speaking about a Mumchir. We're speaking about a Hedget who was accepted by the two litigants. But in such a case, when a person says, I will paskin a Din Torah, and he makes a mistake in a Mishnah, Amai Masha Asu Asui. Why is the Din that Shimon gets to keep the 10,000 that was given to him erroneously from Ruvain? We have a halacha that by a hedget who was accepted to adjudicate a case that if he makes a mistake based on a Mishnah, the din is chayser, that the whole psak din is taken back and Shimon will have to give back the $10,000 to Reuven. Now, if you'll go the other way, you will say that the Din Torah here is one not of a Din Torah according to the exact halacha of the Torah, but rather it's with the reasoning of the Dayan, the second way that he can adjudicate a case, which we call Shikul Hadas, his reasoning. Keep going. And now the Korban Eid explains it. The Ikka Trei Tanoi. There are two Tanoim who argue in this point. The Loi Itmar, Hilchas, the Loi Kamar, the Psak has not been decided which one is correct. The Sugyan da Alma Kechad Benaya, but most Bati Dinim act like one of these two Tanoim. But if someone paskins like the other Tana, can we say he's wrong? There was never a Psak established who was right between these two Tanoim. Most of the world goes like one Tana. Vazaliu, this Dayan went, Vavad Kiddach. He went like the other opinion, the other Tana. So what are you going to say? That in that case, based on his Shikul Hadas, he said, my swore tells me that the second Tana is correct. Amai Shalmi Beisei, why is the halacha that he has to pay from his house? Ho Adayin Loin Isbar, Shatob Din Tyra. We don't know that he made a mistake. There was no psak here which one of the two Tanaim is correct. So even though most of the world paskins like Tana A, but he has a leg to stand on if he paskins like Tana B. And certainly the litigant, Shimon, who got the $10,000 can say, maybe he's right. Maybe the halacha is like him. Why are you taking the money away from me? I want to be sonach on his psak. And you can't prove that he's wrong because right now there has not been a universal psak according to Tana A. So why can't I keep with Tana B? And there the din would be that he would not have to pay. So the Gemara here again is asking Mimanoshach, what is this halacha speaking about where one was accepted by the two litigants? And since it's not by force, we don't need three. Even Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish will be moided that two or one is enough. But how do we understand the words of the Mishnah in Bechairis? If he said he would pass on the Torah, the halacha can't be Masha Asu Asui, because Tabit Var Mishnah is Chayzer. And if he said he's going to do Shikul Hadas, so why in fact is the halacha that it's Masha Asu Asui and he has to pay? Why should he have to pay? Why can't the litigant say, I accept him as being right, and therefore he shouldn't have to pay? This is the Gemara's question. The Gemara answers, Rabba b'shem Rabavu, b'sha amru loi, when the two litigants said to this one, Dayan, hare at mekubla leinu kishloisha, we are accepting you like three, but we have a provision, Al-Minash, shetidineinu, you should adjudicate this case according to Din Torah. Al-Minasha Tidineinu Din Torah. We want Din Torah. And he said, okay, I'll give you Din Torah. But Vita, he made a mistake. V'donan, it came out, Mishikol Adas. He paskened according to reasoning, and he went, like the Korbanet explained, according to one Tana, against the prevailing custom to pasken like the other Tana. So therefore, Masher, also, on the one hand, we cannot revoke this psak. Whatever he paskin, the $10,000 should go to Shimon, it stays with Shimon. Why? Because instead of giving them a din Torah, he paskin with Shikol Adas, and therefore by Shikol Adas, the din is, if he paskin with Shikol Adas, the halacha is whatever, his psak remains. But on the other hand, we do make him pay Yishalami Beisai. Why? It's a knas, a punishment. Sheheg is died to Lodin Yechidi Din Torah. Because since he was a Balgaiva, and he said, I as a Yochid, I'm not a Mumcha, I as a Yochid, with you accepting me, I will paskin for you a Din Torah, he shouldn't have done that. And because of that, we give him a knas that he has to pay. Let us see the Korban Aida inside. Says the Korban Eida, V'tov V'donami Shikol Adas, one line before it gets medium wide, V'lekach Masha Asu Fishen Kantos Mavur. There's no clear mistake here. And therefore, the litigant, Shimon, has a right to say, since it's not clear that he made a mistake, I have the money, I'm keeping it. Prove to me that I have to give the money back. But, V'lekach Yishalmi Beis, so do you know why he has to pay? So we give him a knas because he shouldn't have accepted on himself with gaiva that I can pass him for you a din Torah. Continues the Gemara. This Nina, we learned in a Mishnah in Avos, Perik Dalit. Mishnah Ches, Alti, don Yechidi. Don't pass him by yourself. Always have three people together. Shein don yechidi ela echad. The only one who paskins by himself is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Korban Eida, fourth medium wide line. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shu yachid bu oylami v'yef shashiyite. It's impossible for him to make a mistake. He's the only one who can paskin by himself. Now the Korban Eida gets into a yachid mumcha. Till now, we've been speaking about one hedjit was accepted upon himself like three hedjotos. But what if this same Gemara here would be speaking about a yachid mumcha? Says the Korban Eida, afilu yachid mumcha, midis chatzidus, shelo yodin yechidi shema yavalitois, even a yachid mumcha, where the halacha is in that Mishnayis and Bechairis, the halacha is that a yachid mumcha who would do the same thing, he would be accepted by the two litigants, and he would say, I accept upon myself to paskin a din Torah, not with Shikol Adas. By him, since he's a mumcha, he's an expert, it's not considered presumptuous on his part to say that I will paskin like a din Torah. He's capable of paskining a din Torah. And therefore, he would not have to pay. By him, the din would be that if he said, I'll paskin for you a din Torah, and his it came out that he paskin with Shikol Adas, and he did it like one tana, and the minig of the world is like the other tana. The same case that we had here by a plain yachid, where the yachid has to pay because it was a chutzpah for him to be such a balgaivenik that he thought he could paskin according to the din Torah. If a mumcha does that, then it's accepted, and therefore the din will be in this case that Masha also Asi Shimon keeps the $10,000, and the Dayan doesn't have to pay anything. The only reason the Yachid has to pay something is because he was Megis Dayan, he was a Balgaiva, he was presumptuous on his part to take on such an authority to paskin a din Torah. The only one who paskins by himself is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Korban Eida here that even a Yachid Mumcha, who wouldn't have to pay in the same case that a regular yachid has to pay, but still, midas chasidus shelo yodin yechidi, shem yavlitos, it's a midas chasidus that he shouldn't paskin by himself, maybe he'll come to a mistake. And this is also said by Rav Shri Ragoin, that he should, whenever possible, he should not paskin by himself. And Meiri goes even further, and he says that certainly, even if he does it once in a while, he should make a habit of doing it. So even a Yochid Mumcha who could paskin by himself, and he could even paskin a Din Torah by himself, But he shouldn't get in the habit, and as the Korban Eidah says here, it's a midas chasidus for him not to do it. But a yochid who's not a mumcha, masha asasi in this case, because it came out, it was a mistake in shikla das. And however, he has to pay because of a knas. Now, the next Mandi Yomer says that even Hashem doesn't pass him by himself. Amar of Yehuda ben Pazi, Afa Kadosh Baruch Hu, ain't don yechidi shenemar. We have in the story of Achav that the Navi came, the Navi's name was Michal, and in Malachim Aleph Perikov Beis, Pasuk Chav Gimel, he tells Achav that right now they're having a din Torah in Shemaya in the heavens. And the end of the din Torah will be against you. You will be found to be guilty. And there, the Gemara says that we see that even Hashem, Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi says, doesn't pasuk by himself. Shenemar, v'chol tzua Hashemayim, oymet alav mimino yumi smoyloi. All the heavenly hosts are standing next to Hashem from his right and from his left. So the Korban Ha'edah says over here, Mimino Yumismoiloi, says the Korban Ha'edah, the six lines from the bottom, Vikasha, Vikhiesh Smoilo Milo, there's no smoil in heaven. Valoi Hakol Yamin, as we say, Shanamar, Yamin Hashem Nador Bakar, Yamin Hashem Tiratsoyev. By Hashem, you always reckon with the right. So what does it mean, left and right? It means Ela Elu Maiminin L'Schus. There are those who are who are for the litigant, for the one who's being tried. In this case, it was Achav for merit. The Elu Masmilin L'Chayiv. When they judge against him, that is called Masmilin. They're doing it on the left side, not with the right side of justice of Schus, but with the left side of Chov. The world is judged according to the verdict of the right zechus malachim and the left malachim who are saying din against the person who's being tried. So we see even Hashem has to bring in his heavenly hosts, which are the malachim, to paskin the din. Continues the Gemara, Afal Pisha Ein Don Yechidi, even though Hashem does not judge by himself, he only judges with his bezin, Chaysim Yechidi, but he does sign, he seals the verdict by himself, Shenemar, Aval Agid Loch Es HaRashim, I will tell you what has been written, B'Ksav, Emes, with a truthful writing, says the Korban Eidah, the Chaysim Yishal Kodesh Baruch Hu Emes, the seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emes, Shemami No, Shehu Chaysim Yechidi, that he himself is the one who seals the verdict. So that's what it means, Agid Lecha Eis HaRashim B'Ksav Emes, that Chaysim of HaKadosh, the seal of Hashem, as we'll see on the next daf, the seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emes, and I will tell you that which is sealed by Hashem, by himself, whose seal is Emes. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo'ilam Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Oysu Ba'ilam Medover, Ad Shenimlech Bebezin Shalom Mailon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not do anything until he consults with his Bezin, and the Korban Eidah says, the second last line, L'lam Meider Acheretz. This teaches us that a great person, as Rashi says in Chumash, he should always consult with lower ones. Matam, says the Korban Eidah, Minolon. What's the source for this Maimer Chazal that we just said, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always consults with the Malachim, with the creatures that are lower than him? Because the Pasuk says, in Daniel, the Emes HaDover, it is true, Utsva Gadol, there is a great host, Emes HaChayshim Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Emes, Bishosha Nimlach with Bezdin Shalom Mailon. When is HaKadosh Baruch Hu sealed truthful? That's when he consults with the Bezdin in the heaven. And the Tzva, that's the host, that refers to the heavenly host, the Malachim. And that's when his Chaysim is Emes, when he consults with the Bezdin Shalom Mailon. Continues the Gemara on Daf Beis Amid Aleph, Amar Ablazer, Kol Makom Shenemar VeHashem, wherever it says Avov with Hashem's name, it means Hu Beis Dinoi. Ubinyan Avshe B'Kolom, I will bring you one case which really shows this concept all over the Torah, and this was in connection with what we spoke of before from Alachim Aleph Perikov Beis Pasachov Gimel, when the Malach Michoel told Achav that he's having right now a Din Torah in heaven with the right ones who are saying Schus on him and the left Malachim who are saying Din on him. And then the conclusion was, said Michoel to Achav, Hashem, Dibro Lecha Ra, Hashem spoke against you bad, says the Korban Eid, the top right line, Vikasha. That from Hashem's mouth does not come out bad and good, only good. To what? How could you say over here, Hashem dibar alecha ra? Ela vaday v'Hashem. You have that vav. The vav is moisiv. That this someone here besides Hashem. It means who ubeis dinoi v'hara yaitzim mipiyam bezdin. So here, where the verdict was against Achav, who was going to be killed, so this ra came out from the vav, from the addition of the bezdin. That's who the ra, not from Hashem himself. Mao Chosh Mishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is the seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Rabbi B'Shem Rab Ruvein says it is Emes. Mao Emes. What does Emes stand for? Why is that the seal? Om Rabun Shehu Elikim Chaim U'Melech Olam. The word Emes stands for Hashem is the our God who is alive and he will rule forever, says the Korban Eida. So the word Emes is a contraction of the three words Elokim Melech Tamid. We think of Amin Kael Melech Neman, but here the Korban Eida says Elokim Hashem Melech Tamid. He's the king forever, and that's why his chosim is with the word Emes, because that's what Emes stands for. Elokim Melech Tamid. Amar Shlakish. He gives another understanding in the concept of Emes. Aleph Reshit the Alpha Besa. Aleph is the first letter of the Aleph Beis. Mem Bemtziuso. Mem is in the middle. Tav Besoifen. Tav is at the end. Loimar, to teach you. And now we bring various psukim from Tanakh. Ani Hashem Rishon, the pasuk says. Shaleki Balti Me'achra. My powers do not come from anyone else. Umi Bala Dayan Elikim. Another pasuk says. Besides me, there is no other Hashem. She'ein li shutev. I don't have any partner. Ve'es achroinim ani hu. Another pasuk says, and concerning the last ones, I am Hashem. She'ein li osed l'maishra l'achar. I didn't get it from anyone. I don't have anybody with me now, and I'm not going to give it to anyone. So the Korban Eid says here a very beautiful pshat on the middle one, the mem, which shows that I don't have a partner right now. Says the Korban Eida, she'ein li shutev, two lines after it gets small lines in the right-hand column. She'ois yoshein chav zayin. There are 27 letters to the Aleph Beis, even though we know there's only chav beis, but the Korban Eida is including the five letters that are used at the end. Sophis, the nun sophis, the pei sophis, etc. So if you count those five letters, there are 27. V'hamem stume hi levado emtzois. So you have 13 on one side, 13 on the other side. That's 26. The letter that's in the middle of all 26 is the mem sophis, the final mem. So it stands alone. Atbash. We have a way of figuring out gematrius with aleph, the first letter, and tof, the last letter. Beis, the second letter, and shin, the second last letter, etc. And the only one that doesn't have a partner is the mem, sophis, that is the 14th letter, 13 before, 13 after. It stands alone. And it also is stuma, hilavado. Oh, I'm sorry, it is from all sides. There's no opening in a mem, sophis, and it's in the middle. V'himore alachdusoy. That shows the uniqueness, the oneness of Hashem. Hashem, Shema Yisrael, Hashem, Lekan, Hashem, Echad. And that's why it is closed from every side. It's not open to anyone else. It stands by itself. That shows Hashem that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ein Li Shutev. I have no partner with me. Just to add 2 points to what we have just learned. When we learned that Emes is, Rabun said, Shehu Elikim Chaim Melech Olam, why does that represent Emes? Because a human being promises you something. He may become poor. He's going to give you $10,000. The next day, he may become poor. He can't deliver. He may die. But Hashem, who's Chaim, Melech Olam, If he promises you something, it will happen. It's emes. It cannot falter. And also, the Rabbeinu Nissim Goyen has the girsa here in the Gemara when it says that Ani Rishon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shaloi Kibalti Me'acher. So the Rabbeinu Nissim Goyen has the girsa, Loi Kibalti Malchusi Me'acher. My Malchus I did not accept from any other being. It started from me, myself. Continues the Gemara, Rabov, Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes, Havidainin, Kumi, Rabbi Yitzchak. V'nafakdina im Rabbi Yamin. Rabo and Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes were litigants in front of Rabbi Yitzchak, and the verdict came down. Rabbi Yitzchak was sitting and judging by himself, and the din came out like Rabbi Yamin against Rabo. And this was a case where Rabbo had been forced to come to Beis Din by Rabbi Yitzchak, and then he lost the case. Asa Rabbo, boy mitrof al Rab Ami. So Rabbo went to Rab Ami, and he aggressively was timing. He was making a complaint against Rabbi Yitzchak, and he was trying to invalidate his psak. Why? Because he had been forced to come, and who forced him? One person. And we learned before, in order to force someone, you need three. But Rabbi Ami did not accept his complaint against Rabbi Yitzchak. The Olaf he taught, when do you need three? When did Rabbi Yoichan Rish Lakish said that you need three, and if you had only two or one, the din is not a din? That's only by a regular yachid, an unlearned person. But mumche shekaf favvedon, dinoy din. Rabbi Yoichan Rish Lakish armoide, that if the one who's doing the forcing is a yachid mumche, an expert, he has the power, even if he's not accepted willingly by the litigants. If the litigants accept willingly, then even a yachid, a plain yachid, his din is a din once they accept it willingly. But over here was a case where Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes did not accept him willingly. He was forced to come to Beis Din, but who's doing the forcing? A mumcha. Mumcha shekara fafidon, dinoy din. Here's another example of where a mumcha has a different halacha than that of a yachid. He can force someone to come to Beis Din, and his din stands even though he's only a yachid. Continues the Gemara, Rav Avuah Aviyosef Dayin B'Knishna Madarta D'Kisrin L'Garmei. Rav Avuah used to sit and paskin by the terraced synagogue, the shul in Caesarea L'Garmei, by himself. And the Pnei Moshe adds on the word Madarta, Al Shar Ha'ir Kisrin, on the gate of the city, next to the gate of the city, that's where he paskin. Amrli Tamidai, so his Tamidim said to him, V'loi kein alfin Rebbe, didn't you teach us Rebbe, al tidon yechidi, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, that a judge should not judge alone, and even a dayan mumcha, we have learned, should not make a habit out of judging alone. Amar loin, he said to his Tamidim, kivin de atun chomeli, I'm sitting, as the Pnei Moshe said, by the gate of the city. So you, everyone sees me, Yosef dayan legarmi, and everyone sees that I never sit with other dayanim, I sit by myself. The Austin legaboy, and you come to me, so Misha Kibbul Alei, and it's as if there was no force over here. If you didn't want to come, you didn't have to show up, and you came anyway. It means that even though we didn't speak it out, but it's like you're saying, we accept you to paskin for us like three. So it's not just that I'm paskin by myself, but it's based on the fact that you accepted me as three. In other words, although Rav Avuah was a mumcha, and he had the right to paskin as a mumcha, but he didn't want to do that just because of the din of mumcha, because you shouldn't be accustomed to do that. And therefore he added that not only was he a mumcha, but he was accepted by people as if there were three dayanim here, because everyone knew that he always paskin alone. Vitani came, and in fact, we have learned this in a brice as well. Bamed varmam worm, when can he not paskin by himself? Bizman shaloi kibbul aleihem, if they were not mekabel him as a judge, like three. Avalim kibbul aleihem, but if they accepted upon themselves, then donaf aliyachid, he's allowed to paskin even like one. And the Gemara now tells us about a case where they wanted to have three, and there was one of the people on the Beis Din who it was questionable whether he could really be a dayan or not. Rabbi Yochanan Azul made and Kumi Rabbi Chiya Rabba. Rabbi Yochanan went to pass on a case in front of the Rabbi Chiya Hagodol, the great Rabbi Chiya, that was his name. Aisiv Gabei Chatamid, they put next to him another Talmud, which now we had three people because we had Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chiya Rabba, and this Talmud. But the Gemara questioned it. V'loy Kain Tani, haven't we learned in a Braisa Av Ubenoy, a father and his son? Harav Talmidei, the Rebbe and his Talmud. Shneyan Nimne Echot. These two can only be counted as one, because the son will be afraid to question his father. The Talmud will be afraid to question his Rav. He doesn't have an independent vote, independent Deya, and therefore we cannot consider them as two of the Dayanim. We can only consider them as one. So how could you accept over your Talmud? He can't be considered like a separate vote, and therefore there's really only two dayanim, and you should have three. So Yema, the Gemara says, we have to say that this was not a regular Talmud, but this was Chavar v'Talmud Hayo. It was a Talmud who had come to such a level that he was equal. He was like a Chavrus of the Rebbe. Where do we find such a precedent? K'Rab Lazar l'Rab Yoichan. Rab Lazar was a Talmud of Rab Yoichan, but became so great learning under Rab Yoichan that he became like a Chavar of Rab Yoichan. That's the case over here. This Talmud that was chosen to be part of the Besdin was a Talmud Chavar and not just a regular Talmud. And now the Gemara says various Amiroyim who paskin by themselves. Gzar din nafku min derav legarmei. He paskin Rav by himself. Min derab acha legarmei. Rab acha paskin by himself also. Min derab yoyin of Rab yoyis legarmei and Rab yoyin of Rab yoyis also paskin by themselves. So either because they were mumchim, or better yet, because people knew that they paskin by themselves and they went there anyway. It was like they were mekabel that they should have the power of three dayanim. And as we learned before, the only time you must have three, according to Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, is if the dayanim are forcing you to come to Besdin. But if you are accepted by the litigants, then you could be accepted one alone. You have the power of three. And that's how each of these dayanim were working with the consent of the litigants. Continues the Gemara, Taman Tanin, we learned over there in Mishnah Bechairis, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Vav, we know that we cannot give Shoicha to a judge because he won't be able to pass on the din correctly if we bribe him. But even if both litigants give the judge or judges equal amounts of money to adjudicate the case correctly, it's still usur. The only way it would be permitted is what's called schar betela. A din Torah has a din of Torah. Torah, the Gemara tells us in the Dorm, ma'ani b'chinam afatem b'chinam. We have to really teach Torah for free, just like Hashem teaches Torah to Klal Yisrael for free. The only heter for one to receive compensation is because he could be earning money doing something else, and because he's teaching Torah, he's not able to do that. So because he's batel, because he's not being able to be employed at what he could be earning money, that we're allowed to pay. But not more than what he could be earning at this time were he not teaching, or were he not adjudicating a case, or as we'll see, were he not giving this testimony as an aid. It's only that amount that he could have earned at this time that we are allowed to give him. That's called schar betela. Says the Mishnah over there in Bechairis, Hanoitel Schori Ladin Din of Betela. If somebody took a compensation to Paskin, his dinim are batel. So the Gemara says that Kaini Masnisin, this is what the Mishnah means to say, that a choshed lito schar v'don. It's speaking about a person who is suspected of taking more money than schar betela. And as we know, let's say that a month ago, he took money to be a dayan, and we found out how much money he took, and it was more than schar betela. So even though all the cases that he adjudicated in the last month were not aware that he took more than schar betela, but all the dinim that he paskind are batel. That's why it says it here, b'loshin rabim, hanoitel schar ladun. Dinov betelim. It's not dinoi betel. It's not this din that he paskin right now. But all the dinim that he paskin from the time that he, that we know that he took more than schar betela, and now we're choshed, maybe he did that in every case during the last month. All the dinim from that first time till now are betel. We were speaking about a choshed litin scharoi vidon. Chad bar nash ozel midin komi Rav Huna. There was one man who said, I want to go to Rav Huna and get a psak din from Rav Huna on this question that I have. I want to adjudicate between myself and the other baldin. Omar lei isli bar nash to yusuk to chusi ladikla. He had a job. There's a machlokes here, Pnei Moshe and Korban Eda, exactly what it means. The Yusik Tchusi L'Dikla. The Pnei Moshe says that it means Sheyala Bimkoimi Aladekel V'Lulkoi Peroisov. His job was to go up on the palm tree and collect the dates. V'zehoi Malachtoi Uschar B'Telik Goin Zeh Shori. It's mutter to say, give me, I'm going to have to get another person to do this job instead of me. So if you pay it, then I'll do the case. So why am I allowed to take that money? The answer is because that's schar b'tela. The Korban Eda says the pshat is that he had to, his job was sheyachbor tachas adekel, that he would dig under each tree. So that's also schar b'tela. Get me another man, we'll pay the other man, and that's not considered any problem with taking money. Rav Huna have a roitur, and he was a shepherd of oxen. Vav yada sohadu l'chad bar nash, he knew edus about a certain person. Amrlei isa sohadu, like, come to Bezdin and say the testimony for me, on me. Amrlei, so he said, hav li igri, give me the money that I would lose by coming to Bezdin. That's schar b'tela, and that money, I don't want to lose the money. V'tani Cain, we learned like this in a brisa, Iceland dine schar b'tela. You give a dine to schar b'tela, what he, the money he could make at this time if he was not adjudicating the case. Ula eid schar edusoi, and you give to the aid the money that he could have made at the time that he's saying the edus. That's also a schar b'tela, which is permitted. Continues the Gemara, chad bar nash sov l'chad kayin. There was a Kohen who had edus for Yisroel, and he asked him to come to Bezin, and on the way, the Kohen became tummy. He touched something on the way that made him tummy. Also, uvdekumi Rabbi Yitzchak. So now the Kohen said to the person who asked him to come to Bezin, and he took him on a path which made him tummy, he can't eat truma now, and he asked to eat chulin. Chulin is more expensive than truma. So this case came in front of Rabbi Yitzchak, and he gave him chulin. He said that the Yisroel has to pay to the Kohen the value of chulin. Since there are more people who want to eat chulin than truma, truma is only for kahanim when they are tar, so there's less of a base of people who want to eat truma, the price is cheaper. Chulin, which more people want to eat, because you can eat it even betuma. So there's more people than Yisrael who can't eat truma, so he can eat chulin. There's more of a demand for chulin, the price is higher, and that's what he paskin that he has to pay this coin that became tummy. Sovereign member, so the Bnei Yeshiva understood this to mean she yoitzim le demei truma mitoichab. It doesn't mean that you give him the full value of the chulin, because if he had not taken him, he would have had truma to koyin. So the hezek that came to him is that now he has to eat chulin. So the difference between truma, which he cannot eat now, and the chulin, which he has to buy, that difference he should pay to the kayin. The Gemara now will discuss the third way that a dayan could paskin. We've already learned two of these ways. One is that he paskins exactly according to the Din Torah. The second way is Shikul Hadas. He uses his own reasoning. And now the Gemara will have a three-way machlokas concerning Bitsua, or as it's called, Pshara. Can a Dayan, once the Din has come to his attention, can he make a Pshara, a compromise between the litigants? Of course, the litigants amongst themselves can make a compromise. Or a objective third party could make a compromise between the two people who are having this disagreement. The question that our Gemara now addresses is whether or not a dayan, once a case has come to the judicial system, to the dayan, is he allowed, as a dayan to make a pshara. And we will see three different opinions. Begins the Gemara. Tani, we have learned in a brisa. Rabbi Yossi Haglili says, Hamavatseya choite, that if a person, a dayan, makes a compromise, he is considered a sinner. V'hamivorech, as Hamavatseya, and if he's mishabeyach, somebody sees a dayan who's making a compromise, he praises him. Harezek kimenayat sofnei amalkam. It's as if he is blaspheming in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we look in the Korban HaEdah, three lines after it gets wide, Idivri Amaslam Avatseya Chayte, Mishebo Ledin, Usur Ledayanim Levtsoya. That is the discussion here in our Gemara. Once the litigants come to Bezdin and they ask a Dayan to render a Psak Din, according to Rabbi Lozer ben Rabbi Yossi Haglili, if a judge at that point makes a compromise, he is a Chote. And if someone is Mishabeyach, the compromise, or the one who has made the compromise, he is as if he is blaspheming in front of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Where is a pasuk for this? Shenemar, Uvoitzeya Berach, Nietz Hashem. And according to this pshat, it's not that the Botzeya is blessing, but rather one who blesses a Botzeya, he is blessing the judge who makes the compromise. Actually, he's blaspheming Hashem. Elo, what should be the approach of a dayan? Yikov hadinah sahar kisha asamaisha. He should have the din bore through a hole through the mountain, as Moshe did. If we look in the Korban Eidah, kisha asa Moshe. This is six lines from the bottom of the right hand column. Kisha asa Moshe. Kamoisha asa Moshe. She Omar ki yil ham dover boi eli v'shafatati ben ish ben reu. Moshe told Kal Yisrael, if you have a matter that requires adjudication, bring it to me, and I will make a psak din. Moshe used pure din. Avol Aaron, Mesim Shalom. Aaron's approach was different. He was one who made peace between the litigants. Shenemar b'shalom uvemishur halachiti. Hakadosh Baruch Hu says about Aaron that Aaron went with peace and straightness, yashrus, in front of me. Says the Korban Eidah. Avol Aaron kishishama machloikis beinem. When he heard that there's an argument between two people, koydim shabal fun of ledin. Before they came to him, ledin hayoroidif achrein. He ran after them umatul shalom beinem, and he made peace between the litigants. I am reminded of a Dvar Torah that I said pertaining to Parshas Baal Loischa concerning the menorah, where the pasuk says, Vayas Kain Aaron, that Aaron did as Moshe had commanded concerning the menorah. Says Rashi in the name of the Sifri, Lahagit Shvachi Shal Aaron Shaloshina. The famous question is, if Hashem would come to us and tell us specifically to do something, we would do it. So what is the praise of Aaron that he did exactly what Hashem commanded him? I had another question. We're going on the pasuk, Vayas Kain Aaron. The Sifri says, Lahagit Shvachi Shal Aaron Shaloshina. Why didn't the Sifri use a pronoun? Lahagit Shvachi Shaloshina. We know we're speaking about Aaron. Why does the Sifri reiterate, Lahagit Shvachi Shal Aaron Shaloshina? And I wrote a Dvar Torah in my Sefer Or HaOiris as follows. Based on a similar Gemara as we have right here in the Yerushalmi, in the Bavli Sanhedrin, Davov Amid Beis, the Bavli brings that Moshe's approach was Yikov Adinah Sahar, and Aaron's approach was Oyev Shalom V'Royev Shalom Oyev Sabris from Karvon L'Torah. So the point is, we're aware that Aaron would make peace by sacrificing Emes for Shalom. He would go to Reuven and say, Shimon wants to make up with you. It wasn't true. He went to Shimon and said, Reuven wants to make up with you. It wasn't true. But for the sake of peace, he said Sheker, and then when Reuven and Shimon met, and each one thought the other one wanted to make up, so they made up, and Shalom was restored. He did the same between husband and wife who wanted to get divorced. He went to each one and said that the other one really wants to make up. And when they came together, there was Shalom between them. So that's the point of the Sifri. If it would have said that Moshe did exactly by the menorah what Hashem had commanded, That would be no chiddush. Of course, Moshe's whole anhaga bein adam lechaveru was also yikov adinus ahor, straight as an arrow. Bein adam lemakom, bein adam lechaveru, always din, straight, without any change, without any manipulation. However, lahagid shvachai shel Aaron shaleishina. That's why the Sifri repeats Aaron's name. It's the godless because of Aaron that he wasn't mishan. Aaron, who was the great manipulator for the sake of peace, bein adam lechaveroi. The chiddush is that when it came to bein adam lemakom, he was able to change his nature and he did not deviate from what Hashem had commanded him. A kutzei shel yud, a little line on the yud, he wouldn't change. He did exactly as HaKadosh Baruch had commanded, L'hagit Shvachi Shel Aaron Shaloshina. Recently, I wanted to add to this Dvar Torah when I saw a Rashi at the end of Parshas Tzav. There, Aaron and his children, by the end of the Shivas Yimei Milum, they were commanded to stay at the Pesach Oil Moyed for 7 days and seven nights. And Chas V'Shalom, if they would move, they would receive Misa. Ki chein suvesi, Hashem says, this is my commandment. Says the Pasuk, Vayas Aaron uvanav, es kol advar m'shetziv Hashem biyad Moshe. And Rashi says, L'hagid shvachon shaloi hitu yeminu smol. So Rav Shimon Schwab asked the question, why does it say shaloi hitu? Here in Baal Yisra, similar, it says shaloi shina. Why didn't Rashi use over there also? L'hagid shvachon shaloi shinu. What's this language, hitu yeminu smol? So on that, Rav Schwab answers that there was a very great thing what they did, because the Medrash says that every day of the Shivas Yimei Milum, Moshe would take apart the Mishkan, and he would put it back the next day. Ayin there in the end of Parshat Tzav, Rav Shimon Schwab brings up Psalms Fol Hirsch, who tells us that he did it for 7 days to be meramez that seven times in the history of Kol Yisrael would the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash be destroyed. And only the eighth time, just like the eighth day of the Shivas Yimei HaMiluyim, on that eighth day the Mishkan went up not to be brought down by Moshe, because that is a remez for the Mikdash Shlishi, which will be Lo'olam Vo'ed, Ayin Sham. Beautiful remez of Rav Sam Shvol Hirsch. But Rav Shimon Schwab says, B'negeya, this pasuk at the end of Tzav, why does Rashi say, Shlehitu Yeminu Smoil? Because it's difficult enough not to move from the Pesach Ol Moed if it's standing. But at night, when there is no Pesach Ol Moed, because Moshe has taken apart the whole Mishkan, so it's only an imaginary Pesach Oil Moed, not to go, that's what Rashi means, Shlehitu Yeminu Smoil. They didn't go to the right or to the left, whatever the imaginary line of that Pesach Oil Moed was there at night, in the darkness of night, with an imaginary door, they didn't budge right or left. That's why Rashi uses that Lashon. But Rav Schwab does not pick up on the other point here. Here, Rashi uses a pronoun. Why didn't Rashi say, as he said in Baal Yisra, L'hagid shvachon shel Aaron ubonov shalai hitu yeminu smile? I understand L'hitu yeminu smile according to Rav Schwab's Pshat, but why does he change there in Baal Yisra? He says shalai shina Aaron. He uses Aaron's name and says shalai shina. Here he doesn't use Aaron and his children's name. He says L'hagid shvachon shalai shina. We know who we're speaking about because the Pasuk says Vayas Aaron uvanov. It's called Dvar Meshetziv Hashem, which makes the question much more difficult in Baal Yisra. If you're saying a pronoun here at the end of Tzav, why don't you say a pronoun there? So the answer, I believe, is that in each Rashi is focusing on what the main point is. In Baal Yisra, as we explained, the main point is who is the one who's Loishina. It's not Moshe who was not Mishana because he always did. But rather, it's the great manipulator Aaron who wasn't Mishana. That's why Rashi says, L'hagid shvachi shel Aaron shel Loishina, not Moshe. With Aaron, it becomes a big deal that he wasn't Mishana. On one hand, he's a big Mishana, Mipnei HaSholem, a big manipulator of truth. And on the other hand, he doesn't deviate Kutzei Shel Yud. So there, Rashi says, L'hagid shvachai shel Aaron Shlishina. Whereas over here at the end of Tzav, where the greatness was not so much in who Aaron Ubonov were, the greatness was in what they accomplished, that they were able to be 7 days and seven nights in one place, even though it's imaginary. There's no Pesach Ol Moed there. It was there in the morning, but now it's not there. And in the darkness of night, with this imaginary door, Pesach Ol Moed, to not go physically right or left. So here Rashi focuses on not the people, that's Lagid Shvachan, but he focuses on what they accomplished, that they did not deviate to the right or to the left physically from where they were. That was their greatness at that time. So here in Baloyska, Rashi stresses the person Aaron, and he just sums it up Shleishina. Here in Tzav, he doesn't stress the people, he stresses what they accomplished, Shleihitu, Yeminu Smol. Each Rashi is Meduyik. Continues the Gemara. Tani Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Ma Talmud Loimer Beitzei Berech Nietz Hashem. What is the meaning of this pasuk? Marshal and Marshal Lamador Daima. They gave a marshal. What can this be compared to? Laechot, to a person. Sheganim saw chitim. He stole a great measure of chitim. Saw. Vaylichel and Nathan brought it to a baker. Vehifresh chalos. He took off chala. Vechilu Lamanav and he gave it to his children. Harezim Avorach. He's blessing. He's saying to himself, look what a great deed I did. And so one thing is he gave challah. Number two, he gave it to his children. As the Korban Eda brings down, Shet Stoku Oisa, Kedamrinin, the Bavli, the Gemorin Subistan from the Nunam Bebeis, Eze Oisa Stoku Becholais, Zehazanu Bonav. Who is Mekayim, a person who does stock at all time? That's someone who supports his children. So he is patting himself on the back. He's making a bracha. Look what I'm doing for Hashem. I'm giving challah. I'm feeding my children. And ve'enoy elamanai, it's a person who stole, as the Korban Eda concludes, it's a mitzvah bob avera. It's like someone who stole something. So because he stole it, and now he makes a bracha on it, that itself is a mitzvah bob avera. So all the challah that he gave, and all the feeding his children, and the brachas he made, all of it all together is all mitzvah above aver. Memela, his act is considered like someone who has blasphemed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rab Meir, Reimer continues in Gemara. Ma tamal loim b'tzei berech nietz Hashem. He has another pshat. He says, Elu achi Yosef. This refers to the brothers of Yosef. Where do we find the word b'tzei? By achi Yosef Shenemar. Ma betzei kenarkas achena. Yehuda pleaded with the brothers. What value is it that we will kill our brother? Let us not kill him. Let us sell him to the Yishmaelim. Now, in this Gemara, there are diametrically opposed pshatim of the Yad Ramah and the Marsha. The Yad Ramah learns ubaytzei aberech. If someone is mevorach this baytzei, which according to the Gemara now it's referring to Yehuda, because he made a compromise. What was the compromise? He didn't kill Yosef, and on the other hand, he didn't bring him back to his father either, but he sold him. He got rid of the problem, but yet he kept Yosef alive. So that's a pshara. But a person who's b'tzei aberech, he blesses Yehuda for making this compromise. So he's a menayitz. Why? Because Yehuda had the respect of his brothers. Whatever Yehuda said to do, they followed, they listened. So he should have said he's a tzaddik Yosef. He's not trying to be rode a few from Olam Haba, as they thought, and let us return him to his father. And they would have listened. Grudgingly, but they would have listened. So if you're in this case that Yehuda made a compromise and you compliment Yehuda for his compromise, no. Here it's Nietz Hashem, because he should have said return him to his father. That's a shot of the Yad Ramah Sanhedrin in the Bavli. The Marshal learns that the word Beirach, we find many times a klola is called in the Lashon of the Torah a Beirach. Blessing him, it's a euphemism for a klola. So that's what it's saying here, according to the Marshal. Beitzeya Beirach, if you curse the Beitzeya Yehuda, because you say, look what he did, he sold the brother. No, you should, if you curse him, Nietz Hashem, that's a blasphemy. Because you really have to praise him, because Yehuda knew that if he would ask them to return him to his father, according to the Mashah, just the opposite of the Yad Ramah, they would not have listened. Their hatred for him was so great
That they would not have listened. So he did a shrewd, smart thing. He kept Yosef alive. The main point was to secure Yosef's safety. They shouldn't be killed by the brothers. And therefore, the smartest thing that he could do was to sell them. And Chas v'Shalom, if somebody's Beitzei HaBerech, he curses the Beitzei Yehuda. That person, according to the Marsha, is Nietz Hashem. Continue to Gemara. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karchaimer, Mitzvah of Tzoya. Here we have the second Shita. The first Shita we learned was Rabbi Lazar ben Rabbi Yosi Aglili says, Matzeya is a Choyte. Once they come to Beis Din, the Dayan has no right to make a compromise. He has to give Din. He can either give Din Torah or he should use Shikl Adas. He cannot use the third method of compromise. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karchaimer disagrees and he says it's a Mitzvah of Tzoya as we turn to Daf Bezum and Beishan Emar. MS. Umishpat Shalom, that together we have MS in the Mishpat and we have Shalom. So the Gemara asks, how could it be? How can you have MS and Shalom together? Kol Makom Sheyesh MS, Ein Mishpat Shalom. And the opposite, Yesh Shalom, Ein Mishpat MS. If you have MS, so somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose. If you're going to have Shalom, that there's a compromise, you'll go 50-50. So each one will not come out a loser because each one has something. They save their face. They have at least half the money, but that's not MS because either one or the other is the real owner of this money. Says the Gemara, the answer is Eze Emes Yesh by Mishpat Shalom Hevi Armez Abitzua. That is compromise. Now compromise is not what people think normally that you split 50-50. Because that was what was bothering the Gemara. If you split it 50-50, then where's the emes involved here? No, it's compromise. Compromise means that the judge has to listen to their tinus. And then he has to see the points of each one. And then he has to see which one's point is stronger than the other. And had he done a din Torah, he would have awarded it, let's say, to one person. So now that he's not doing a din Torah, he's doing pshara. So he makes it that neither of them will come out a total loser, but he will weigh it in the side of the person whose tainas are stronger than the other one. So the emes part over here is number one. As the Mephoreshim explained, they accepted upon themselves to listen to the psak of the dayan as far as the pshor was concerned. And secondly, the dayan was listening to their time, is not just making it 50-50, but rather the dayan was listening whose tainas are stronger. And he was weighing the pshara in on the balance of the scale on the side of the one whose taina was stronger. So that is the emes part of a pshara. I asked my son, the dayan, Reb David Grossman Shlita, about this inyan, and he said, yes, that in fact, the Chassam Sofer says that a dayan should never make, dayanim should never make a pshara 50-50, unless the case, in the rare case that the tainas are exactly equal one to another, and that would be the correct pshara. But normally, they should make a pshara where nobody loses everything, but the stronger one should get more, because otherwise people will say, what did I need to go to a Beis Din for? We can adjudicate ourselves. We can do this. If it's 50-50, I don't need Beis Din. Any machlokes, you'll say 50-50. And therefore, they should not do 50-50 unless, in the rare case, that each one's time is exactly equal to the other. The Korban Eidah on the top left, Korban Eidah, the Ramasu Kol Malkam, explains that Mishpat Shalom is Lefnim Mishur Sadin. He brings the Gemara in Bavli, Bav Metzia, the Flamet on the Beis, like Chorva Yerushalayim, El Al Shehimidu Dineim Al Din Taira. Yerushalayim was Nechrav only because they paskened everything according to Din. There is an aspect which is called Lefnim Mishur Sadin. That's how the Korban Eidah understands the words Mishpat Shalom. Well, if you have Emes, that means you have pure din. You don't have lefnim mishur sadin. If you have lefnim mishur sadin, then you don't have emes because the two are contradictory. Yerushalayim was nechrav only because they went with pure emes din. Then how could there be a mishpat shalom of lefnim mishur sadin? So the answer is, as we said before, that compromise is not 50-50. But rather, bitsua, pshara, is to listen to the strengths and the emes of each taina, to give to the one who deserves it more a greater amount of the whole, but yet each one doesn't feel that they're totally losing everything, and that's why there's a lefnim mishur sadin involved, but there's also listening to the emes of whose taina is stronger. That's how you can have a mixture of emes and mishpat shalom. Concerning the next Gemara, the Maishe tells us that this Gemara will be going according to the Shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yosef Gluli, which we learned on Amud Aleph, that HaMevatzeya Choyte, that once the Din Torah comes to the Dayan, it's also for him to make a Pshara. Now, how does he learn the Pasuk of Emes U'Mishpat Shalom, which we just learned, is through Bitsua. Only through Pshara do we have both a Mishpat of Emes and a Mishpat of Shalom. So he has a different way, he explains the Maishe, of learning this Pasuk. Let us see the Gemara inside. Dunas Adin, if he did not do a Pshara, but rather he Paskin the Din, exactly who's supposed to be the winner and who's supposed to be the loser. Zikal is Zakai. He Paskin that the one who's innocent, the one to whom the money belongs to, he should get it. Chayiv L'chayiv. He said that the other one owes him the money. Malo Lavakosiv, Kilo Osit Stokim Azakai, Kilo Osit Stokim Achayiv. He did MS. But once you do MS, there's also an aspect of Shalom. You're helping both people. You're doing Stoka to the Chayiv and to the Zakai. How? Stokim Azakai Shehichsolem Amainai. You're doing Stoka with the Zakai because you're giving him back his money that he could have lost had you not paskened the din correctly in his side. Ve'imachayiv, you're also doing tzedakah with the guilty one, shehoytzi gzeila mitachas yadoi, because you took away the gzeila from his hand. This money was not his. In the Bavli, we find in Sanhedrin of Zion of Aleph that the Bavli says that when a person is found guilty in Bezdin and he has to give the money to the other litigant, he should sing a song. He should be so happy because who wants to have money that is not his in his possession? If the Dayan objectively, without favoritism, looked at the case and said that you are chayiv to give up this money, it's not yours, so you should be full of simcha, full of joy. And therefore, as the Maishe explains, that this is the shalom, this is the way that the Rabbi Eliezer ben Rabbi Yosef Gluli, who doesn't hold of Pshara, this is how he will learn the Pasuk of Emes U'Mishpat Shalom. By paskening 100% Emes, it causes shalom, it causes staka to both parties. Continues Gemara. Rav Avuah said, Mishpat. We find twice concerning doing Mishpat. We find the word Mishpat twice. And he is referring to the Pasuk in Devarim, Perek Tezayim, Sukim Yutches and Yutes, Shaiftim Shaitrim Titen Lecha, Bechal Sharecha, Vishaftu Esa, Mishpat Tzedek. And then the Pasuk continues, Loisate Mishpat. You should not pervert judgment. So we find in these two psukim, one after the other, the word mishpat twice. Shmishpat, mishpat, amur b'parsha. It said twice in that parsha the word mishpat. So we learn that this is a remez to the pasuk that we brought before, the pasuk of emes u'mishpat shalom, which is actually a pasuk from Zechariah Perikhes, pasuk tezayin, where it says we brought that pasuk on the first line of this amud. Emes u'mishpat shalom. Since it's twice mishpat in Devarim, that means that the word mishpat in the pasuk in Zechariah should teach us that there is a mishpat of emes and there's a second mishpat of shalom. Those two mishpatim you should shift to b'sha'areichem. You should judge in your bezdin, which was in the gate of the city. We need a mishpat that is both emes and a mishpat which is at the same time Shalom.